In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. These words of peace fill our Eucharist every Sunday. But when we wrap ourselves in peace like a big comforter, blocking out the coldness of the outside world like children hiding under the covers of peace, well, we get it all wrong. We confuse peace and quiet with the peace of God. In today's gospel, Jesus gives us a glimpse of what comes with the peace of God. It's not at all like peace and quiet. It's a deeply troubling peace, a peace that demands justice and often makes one more restless than restful. It's a peace, as Jesus says, that brings fire. Not the warm fire of comfort, but the hot fires of conviction. A fire that brings light to the dark and hidden corners of our lives. Peace and quiet is as different from the peace of God as the Perseid meteor shower that's been lighting up our sky this week is different from the asteroid that ended the reign of the dinosaurs here on Earth over 65 million years ago. The peace of God changes things. Or at least it would if we would let it. One of the things that we often confuse in the church is peace and change. All at the same time, the church is one of the great institutions of inertia, as well as one of the great engines of change in the world. The problem is that until the kingdom of God actually comes, inertia should really be anathema to the church. How could the church sit on its hands and allow the subjugation of one race by another, and yet it did for hundreds of years, sacrificing justice for a hollow peace? In America right now, the curses of racism, white supremacy, and white nationalism still infect our nation. And even some denominations of churches that call themselves Christian. The outcry should be deafening, but sadly it isn't. Our readings this morning force us to ask hard questions. Where are we allowing the inertia of the status quo to limit the power and grace of the kingdom of God? Because we don't have the courage to even rock the boat a little bit. In our reading from Isaiah, we hear the song of the metaphorical vineyard. The prophet tells of all that has been done for God's beloved and the sad reality of how the beloved have responded. What if that song is about us? What if God is expecting us to respond with justice in recompense for all that we have been given? Can we honestly say that justice rolls down like water? That the kingdom of God is anywhere near in America? Or the world, for that matter? But still there is reason for hope. If we have the courage to allow it, the peace of God can work in our lives like the hammer of a sculptor or like the refiner's fire. In our gospel this morning, Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." These words are so harsh that they grate on us. And these words have been used for the misdeeds of the church as well. Can this be the same Jesus that has spoken so often of love? Did he not just weeks ago berate his own disciples for wanting to call in a fire strike of their own? What could he mean by this fire that he wishes were already kindled? Is this the fire of judgment that we fear? Or might it be a different kind of fire, perhaps the fire of the Holy Spirit? Well, as often happens when reading Scripture, I believe the writer of the Gospel of Luke intended it to be both. The refining fire that Jesus brings will light up the hidden flaws in relationships between people, even within families. The searing light of the truth of that fire will burn away the fabric of lies that surround so many of our interactions with each other. Relationships built around lies will crumble and split. At the same time, the fire of the Spirit will inflame our hearts with love, overcoming our own fears and our jealousy of those around us, re-knitting us together in the truth that God intends. This is the peace of God that is trying to break into our world every day, a peace that we so desperately need and want, while at the same time fear and hinder. It's a struggle happening within ourselves that is reflected in the struggle between God and the petty idols we raise up instead. In spite of this warning, we continue to surround ourselves with idols of our own creation, false gods that we pursue and worship with zeal. Wealth, beauty, power, possession. We build our little castles in the sand while the tide is running, and we don't even know, or we choose not to look. But still there is hope. Though we may be divided, we are, as Paul says, surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Every Sunday morning we gather and exchange the peace of the Lord. Often, it is misconstrued as an opportunity to greet friends and strangers with hospitality. In truth, it is so, so much more. When we offer the peace of God to each other, we open ourselves in a radical way, inviting God to break into our lives and strike down our false gods, to take hammer and chisel to the extra weight that we are carrying. As the letter of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I am saddened that the lectionary stops the reading right there, because the exhortation continues a little later with the following. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. If exchanging the peace makes you a little more uncomfortable now, like, man, that's a lot to happen. It was so much easier to just say hi to each other. Well, that's a good thing. There can never be too much justice in the world. If you look around with the eyes of God, it's clear that, boy, we've got a lot of work to do. And it would be nice to just say, I'm not going to deal with those people. They're beyond the pale. They're not worth my effort. But God reminds us that everybody is worth the effort. And we, of all people, should be loving the unlovable, no matter how they're unlovable. Don't let the inertia of your own sin hold you back. Your sins have been forgiven. Leave them behind. Just because we've been blessed by God in the past, don't assume that our blessings will continue. Of God's love, we can be assured. But that doesn't mean that we can be assured of God's blessing. If we take the vineyard of God's blessing and return only the wild grapes of injustice, then surely the walls of that vineyard will come down. As followers of Jesus, we too must yearn for that holy fire to be kindled. Not the destructive fire of war and intolerance, but the refining fire of the Holy Spirit that burns away the dross of ignorance and indifference and lights our way out of the darkness of selfishness and vanity. So I ask you, can you see the clouds rising in the west? Our time seems to be growing short. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Amen.